and other public media of communications. 12. Am I on 12? Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
You're
Welcome
welcome.
to the Sunday Night There Is a Solution Newcomer and Returning Members Meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater and a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask questions about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome, Ken W.H., a compulsive overeater from North Carolina. Please go ahead, Ken, when you're
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here tonight. It's probably a lot more comfortable up there right now than it is down here because we're in the 90s again. So I'm down in North Carolina and I'm Ken W.H., a recovered compulsive eater, and glad to be here tonight. And I understand this is a newcomer, pretty much newcomers and those who have dealt with relapse. And I can relate to both. I have been a newcomer, let me just say, a number of times over the years. And I am just so grateful that for the last 4 years I've been abstinent and free, finally. To a degree that I can say recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, as it tells us in the Big Book. Just a brief history. I just grew up a fat kid on the block. It's that simple. My two brothers were like me, and so were my family. So we were basically the bowling ball family on the block, and received all that went with being fat. And kids and sometimes adults can be pretty nasty about it. So, it took the beating for being a fat kid, and a lot of shame, and stayed with me a long time. Took a lot of years to get through the shame issues and the less than issues, and trying to overachieve to compensate for that. But I didn't gain a whole lot of weight, so to speak. I think my high was about 240, and I'm just a normal height. So, and it was all fat. It wasn't like I bulked up at the gym and got dense muscle and all of that kind of stuff. No, it was all fat. And today I am down 70 pounds from that and have maintained it now for well over 4 years, actually. And it's where I need to be. It's where I believe the God of my understanding, my higher power, wants me to be in a healthy body. So that just went on for most of my life. I've had other addictions and been involved now in 12-step recovery for over 40 years. Started in another program, and I had my first encounter with OA 40 years ago in 1984. Interestingly enough, until John showed up, thank you, John, for being here. The first meeting I went to, that was 40 years ago. Was things were different back then, but I walked into a room and there were about 30 women and myself, and I wasn't the least bit comfortable, to say the least. So I didn't need a whole lot of excuse not to come back. So I didn't come back for quite a while. But it became necessary over time, and I kept trying to work at it and trying to use the steps. And if you're new to OA and have had interaction or encounter with other 12 steps fellowships, I encourage you to. It took me a lot of years, like in almost 35 years, to finally see myself in OA as an OAer only. And to, I had to set aside a lot that I learned, or the way I learned it in the other programs, and had to really concentrate and work hard to see OA for the disease that it is. So if you're new, I strongly recommend starting from page one, or page I, whatever, whichever numbers on it, and start with a clean slate, a clean page. And if you can start with a fresh Alcoholics Anonymous book, it's probably a really good idea. Because I carried a lot over from the other program, and a lot of that is very useful information over the years. It isn't that that the principles are all the same, but I think just sticking with the principles and thinking to myself that it's all the same kept me from a very important critical element of recovery in OA that I missed for years and years and years in the other program. Basically, the other program stuck with the 164 pages that we keep referring to as chapters one through what is it, 9, 10. We didn't spend a lot of time with things that went before. And actually, often many of the meetings opened with the reading of how it works in the fifth chapter and where the steps are listed. And that's not a good place to start. I found that out. With my other program, I was fortunate that I did not have to go and use that substance again over the years. Not so with food. I always went back to the food. That was my first addiction, and I'm convinced I'm praying it's the last one out, for goodness sake. How many can you have? What I was missing was the doctor's opinion, quite frankly, and the forewords, which have a lot of information in them as well. So really, there's more than 164 pages. The doctor's opinion puts it up into the, and the forewords put it up into the 80s, the 180s. And but what I would strongly recommend is that's the place to start. I didn't. For years and years and years, just did not get connected with the doctor's opinion. And I went to a lot of OA meetings that didn't go back that far. It wasn't until I got into a Vision for You meeting and the big book starting on actually the title page and going through it all the way through that I really started to embrace what was in the doctor's opinion. The allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. I really didn't have a grasp on the allergy of the body part for food. When I stopped drinking, I knew I was done drinking. That what I drank, I got whatever. And some of the other addictions, I knew that I just needed to stop them. And that was that. But the food has that other element of having to need food to survive, fuel for the body. And I didn't. really have a good grasp of that sense of an allergy to certain kinds of foods. And it wasn't until I got a grasp of that that I finally came to understand that for all the years that I had been identifying myself as a compulsive or chronic relapser, I came to realize that 4 years ago, and I can tell you the day, it was an Easter afternoon in a park, that I became fully aware that I never really relapsed. I was never, ever entirely abstinent. There was always some degree of the substance in my body that I'm allergic to that creates all that goes with active addiction. And that was a hard thing to swallow. Yeah, that was a hard piece of information for me to really get a hold of, to be able to say that out loud, that I was just never fully abstinent because I always had some of the substance in me. I spent years identifying myself as a sugar eating compulsive overeater and believing in the bottom of at the depth of my being, believing that sugar wasn't my problem. I know differently today that that's one of them. That's one of the many of and it's taken time to sort through all that. So if you're new, give yourself time to sort through what foods are or are not the foods that your body responds to allergically with an allergic reaction. I know those foods today, and I know that they can't be, I just don't want them to be a part of my life because of what it does to me. I got back, and that doctor's opinion is just loaded. And I was listening to someone speak today and became profoundly aware that it, for a lot of years that I was attending OA meetings, I wasn't getting past the degree of emphasis on abstinence, the degree of emphasis on the steps that kept me from what the book is for, what ultimately its design is, to connect me with a power greater than myself that'll solve my problem with food. I was kind of focusing a lot on the abstinence, getting abstinent, whatever that was. And I couldn't do it. I just couldn't fully grasp that and get a hold of it. And I thought that was the goal. It's not. It's not the goal of the book. It's a tool of the book, of my recovery. The goal was this relationship to a power greater than myself. And I was being distracted with my focus on abstinence, my focus on getting the steps done. There was a sense of you get through them, you're done, close the book, and away we go into whatever land we wander off into. Those are tools, and they're just absolutely fundamentally very, very important to my recovery today. They mean a lot to me. They do not approach the degree of importance to me as my higher power. And it's that higher power, the God of my understanding, that has given me the opportunity to reframe those concepts of abstinence and the 12 steps and all the principles in there and reframe them in a way that puts them under God's purview my higher power's purview for me. And that's important. I can't speak for us. I just gives me I have a hard time doing that, and it's too easy to go into we and us and those kinds of things with my opinion, and that's not helpful, I don't think. What I'm sharing with you are my opinion and what my experience and hopefully my strength and hope that there's a solution to this thing. And I grieve for those who I hear on the lines and at meetings who just really, really struggle to get to some degree of stability with respect to addiction, some degree of stability with food. And it's too easy to say, just put the food down, just put it down. That's all you got to do. Just put the food down. It's kind of like saying, just put the plug in the jug. That's all you got to do. Put the plug in the jug. Put the food down. What food? What food? That's the part that takes some time. And it has taken a long time for me to really sort through all that, the kinds of foods that trigger me and just send me off. One of the things that the doctor's opinion, makes pretty clear to me is that whole concept of once it starts, once I have the substance into me and the allergy has kicked in, I can't stop on my own. And once I've stopped, my brain won't let me stay stopped. My brain, the compulsion kicks in and gets me started back into it. I'll come up with any number of rationalizations and excuses to go eat what I want. And being new, I kind of like to think of myself new often, just in terms of my mind and where it wants to go. And how it's so easy for me to say, well, I got a little time now, so things are good and life's beautiful and I'll be happy and all of that. Now life happens and this brain is a scary thing to use sometimes. And the reality is, for a long time in early OA recovery, I was convinced that when I had food thoughts, I was not in recovery. I wasn't doing something right. I was not doing something right. I was doing something wrong, and there was something wrong with me that these food thoughts would come. And the truth is, they come. They just wander in. And today, they just keep wandering straight through. I just let them go through. I don't deny that they're there anymore, and I don't understand those food thoughts as being something wrong in me, something unfixable. They come and they go. I have other tools now that when those thoughts come, and perhaps they're strong. If I'm in an environment where the thought comes, but there's also a lot available, I have other tools and I have a phone. I can call people. I can leave the situation. I've learned to make decisions for my in my best interest, because I believe that that's what HP wants for me is always HP is always thinking of my best interest, always. And I had to grasp that. And I had to understand that in spite of my past and a lot of the mess that was in my past, in spite of that, my HP still thinks I'm okay. I'm an all right guy. I'm worthy of God's respect, God's love, and That's an incredibly freeing experience, I want to tell you. Again, the doctor's opinion's critical, and chapter five again is where the steps come. But remember also that it takes, I call the doctor's opinion a chapter. It takes five chapters to get to the third step. So those first five chapters, doctor's opinion and chapters one through four, take me only through step two. That's a third of the book for two steps, the most critical steps there are. For newcomers, that says a lot to me. That suggests that that part of the book is really critical. Because without the first and the second step, I don't see myself going very far. I see myself back out there if I forget steps one and step two. So that, I think the book lays out for me that those first two steps are fundamental. They're ultimately not hard. They're simple in their construction, but I make it hard in suggesting to myself, one, that I wasn't crazy or that crazy or as crazy as some other folk I know, that I wasn't nuts and that I did have some ability to control something. I was convinced of that. And it wasn't until a day came that I really started moving in the right direction when I was still in recovery in my other program, still clean and sober and not abstinent from food, but totally lost and completely out of control. In a physical situation, I was out on Cape Lookout Island, which you can only get to by a boat that goes out in the morning and picks you up in the evening. And got caught in the tide. Tide came in, and we were on the other corner of the horse of the Boomerang Island, and we're over in the far end of the Boomerang. And the tide came in. There was no direct way across, but had been all the way around, and we would have missed the boat. And out there, no place to stay. Nobody's out there. We didn't have anything to stay with. So we were basically stuck. And I remember standing there on a little sand dune, and I just kind of cried out, I just can't get it. I just can't get it. And it was broader than just getting off the island. It was one of those, I can't get it. And I can convinced that the God of my understanding at that moment made this charade gesture. Bingo. Bingo. That's what you need to know more than anything else, Ken. That you can't get it. But I can. And I got it. And I want it for you. My higher power, that higher power that the book says it wants me to be in relationship to, wants me to have an abstinent life, a full life, a free life, a life that doesn't have to run in fear from every piece of whatever. Is laying on a buffet table. I live in community. I'm retired and I live in community, and there is a lot of stuff here. A lot of stuff available. And I live here freely. I eat what I need to eat when I need to eat it. I don't have to follow anybody else's routine or even this environment's routine. I can talk to chef. And get what I need made the way I need it made. I can make decisions today because my higher power has made it clear to me that all I have to do is ask and he'll let me know. And he lets me know right down in here. Every time I went off a so-called food plan of mine that I made, every time I went off it, it was my decision to do so. The God of my understanding tells me what I'm unable to do on my own power, but never, ever takes away that freedom to choose. I can choose to go off program anytime I want. I can choose to do things that are not good for me. I can choose to say things to other people that are hurtful. I can choose to do all of those things and behave the way I used to. Or I can surrender to my higher power's power to make me a useful and effective tool of HP. To share some good news, to share the experience, strength, and hope that I've had over the years, as hard as they've been at times. It's a simple program, as they say, but some of the stuff is hard and it takes hard work. And
Excuse me,
that's
Ken.
good. Thank you.
There's five minutes left. Thanks.
Okay, thank you for that. I guess to wrap it up, if you've had some struggles, like I have with thinking I was abstinent or trying to get abstinent and couldn't, or got abstinent for a while and went back out there and decided I could do some things, don't give up. Don't ever give up. I think Winston Churchill said that once or something around World War II. Don't ever give up. Never give up. There's always hope. And it's in that, I think it's page, I want to say 22, 3, 4, somewhere in there. Can't remember. In there is a solution where it's gone through this entire deflation, bringing it all the way down to that hopeless, terribly hopeless, lonely place. It gets us to that point, and then it says those four words in italics: "There is a solution." It's a stellar moment in the book, and it's basically saying there's hope. There's always, always, always hope. You're new or just returning, stick with those first five chapters, and spend time with them. Really, just let it reap in you what God has in store, and it's incredible. It's just incredible. And I'm not so far off calling the doctor's opinion a chapter, because in the first printing of the big book, it was chapter one. And then it was after they realized it probably should start with an alcoholic, so they made him a preface, made the doctor a preface. But it's critical. It's important. It's very, very important for breaking through the cycles that I've been through and that I know a lot of us go through. So I just wish you all well, and there's hope. There's always hope. God's got a good thing going. And God cares a whole lot for us who have had some real struggles in our life. There's no question. He kind of likes healing us, I think. So that's all I have.